Do you remember back in Genesis chapter 4, we talked about a man named Lamech? And Lamech killed a man who had wounded him. And then he said to his two wives, he said to them, if Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. Because of his actions and because of his words, Lamech has become a notorious example of fallen man choosing revenge over forgiveness. Lamech could have chosen a road of forgiveness, but he chose to live by the rule of revenge. But Jesus, our Lord, taught us a very different way of living, a different path. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, we can read how Peter came to Jesus and he asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Meaning without limit, we forgive. Now, most of us have a kind of image in our minds, if we think about it, of what an ideal family might look like. Maybe parents, grandparents, brothers and sisters, children all living together in harmony with lots of joy. Here's somebody's idea of that family. Sadly, though, most of our families aren't quite like this. Most of our families have some difficulties, some troubles. And one reason for that is because many people have not learned the way of forgiveness. In too many homes, instead of forgiveness, there's anger, resentment, bad attitudes. And in some homes, long years of unforgiving attitudes have made it very difficult for people to forgive or even to talk with one another. Family members are often separated by physical and emotional barriers that prevent communication. And when they do meet, there are harsh words. There are hard, uncomfortable silences. This is the sad reality that many families live with, but it doesn't have to be that way. Today, as we continue our study of Joseph, we will see that forgiveness and love have power to restore family relationships. In Joseph's example, we can find new hope for restoration and harmony in our own families as well. Forgiveness is possible. Even when bad things have happened, it's possible to forgive and to restore harmony and joy. It isn't easy, but it's possible. And it's worth doing. Many of us here today also come from broken homes or difficult family backgrounds. Our family situations, in a lot of cases, are not ideal, not like that perfect family. And I know that some of you are probably even thinking, my family, it's too late for my family. The wounds are too deep. There's been too many problems. The problems are too big. My family, it's too late to restore things. Some people here may be thinking that. I know, and it's quite difficult. The problem seems so big. The wound seems so deep. But I want to encourage you that it is possible. Take a look at this photo. If these two can get along with each other, there's hope for our families too. It's possible for those who have a difficult history to restore relationships, to find peace together. If this is possible, then our families can do it too. Yes? Amen? It can be done. Amen. It's not easy. Big problems can be solved. Deep wounds can be healed. There is hope for even the most broken family. And Joseph's story teaches us that. Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. That must have left a very deep wound in Joseph's heart. His brothers sold him into slavery. But his brothers also suffered. They suffered from the guilt of their sin and from the pain of living a lie, because they had led their father to believe that Joseph was killed by a wild animal. So as the father Jacob is mourning for Joseph, the brothers all know it's a lie. He's not dead. We sold him as a slave. So they suffered too. But Joseph suffered in jail, as a slave, in many ways unjustly. Long years passed, though, and eventually Joseph even became ruler of Egypt. We talked about this last week, some of this. Second only to Pharaoh. And through Pharaoh's dreams, there was a prophecy. There would be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. And the 7 years of plenty, as we pick up the story today, the 7 years of plenty are past and the years of famine have begun. It's the second year maybe of famine, hardship, not only in Egypt, but the whole area. Very big area. Severe famine. But in Egypt, there was food. In Egypt, there was grain. Because God had told them in advance, through Pharaoh's dreams and through Joseph interpreting those dreams, what would happen. So Joseph had saved up grain for 7 years so that there was plenty of food in Egypt. Joseph stored up vast seas of grain beyond count during those years of plenty. And Genesis 41:57 tells us, after the famine came, all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the world. So you get this image. Here's Joseph in Egypt, and in Egypt they have food and grain because they've prepared during the 7 years of plenty. And not only the people of Egypt, but all the people from the surrounding countries from far away, they're all coming to Egypt because there's food in Egypt. And they want to buy something to eat for their families. The news that there is food in Egypt spread far and wide, and people came to Joseph to buy grain. And along with the grain, I'm sure they also got a testimony about the one true God, the living God, who had given advance warning about the famine so that the people could prepare. The God who knows the future and speaks to the people about what is going to happen. The God who has all things in his hand. Here we see God's missionary purpose being fulfilled in the life of Joseph. God has a missionary purpose to reach the nations, to reach all the peoples with the truth of the good news that there is a God who loves them. 1 Timothy 2:4 tells us what God wants. What is the heart of God? It's for all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For all men to be saved, and women, of course. All the nations to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And Romans 10:17 says that faith comes from hearing the message. From hearing the message, the good news of God's love. The Lord brought Joseph on a long and difficult journey in order to prepare him to be a humble and faithful witness to the things of God. And then through the dreams of Pharaoh, the Lord told Joseph in advance what was to come, proving that this is a living God, a true God who knows the future and who cares about people and speaks to them of the things to come. 7 years of plenty come first to give Joseph time to store up vast amounts of grain. And then 7 years of famine bring the nations to Joseph where they can receive the food that gives them life, that protects their lives, and the message of truth about God, so that they can be reconciled to the Creator God who made the heavens and the earth and holds all things in His hand. And this God, our God, the Creator God, by speaking in advance about these things through Joseph's interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, there is solid evidence of His truth and that He is alive and that He has power. So you can imagine Joseph, he's out there, and with every bowl of grain he hands down to somebody also comes a message. This is available because God told us in advance to prepare, the living God. And I think that surely many must have believed and must have come to faith and have trusted in this God who knows the future, who knows all things, and who holds all things in His hand. A God of power and wisdom, a Creator of all. And the people, I think many of them must have returned home carrying God's provision of grain for their bodies, but also God's word of truth for their hearts and for their salvation. They back to their families and friends with this word. Genesis 42 verses 1 and 2 tells us, when Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, this is Jacob, Joseph's father, right? He said to his sons, why do you just keep looking at each other? He continued, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us that we may live and not die. You can imagine the sons of Jacob, they're sitting there, all looking at each other. Are you going to do something about this? You're going to do something? There's no food. Yeah. Do something, do something. No, they're all looking at each other. Who's going to do something about this? Sometimes we're like that, right? We all look to somebody else to take care of it, to solve the problem. But the father says, go down to Egypt and buy us some food. So the brothers go down to Egypt. Benjamin stays behind, but 10 of the brothers go down to Egypt to buy food. Where do they go? They go to Joseph, but they don't know it. Verses 6 and 7, chapter 42 says, now Joseph was governor of the land, the one who sold grain to all its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces on the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. Where do you come from? He asked. From the land of Canaan, they replied, to buy food. Joseph instantly recognizes his brothers when they come before him, but they don't recognize Joseph because Joseph is much older. He's dressed in Egyptian clothes. He's speaking the Egyptian language and working through an interpreter. They don't realize it's Joseph. But Joseph knows, and he knows that his dreams that he had many years earlier, the dreams of the sheaves of wheat bowing down to his sheaf, the dreams of the stars and the sun and the moon bowing down before him, representing all of his family coming and bowing down before him and him becoming the head of all the family, those dreams are now being fulfilled as his brothers bow before him. About 22 years passed between when Joseph was sold as a slave and when his brothers came down to Egypt to buy grain. About 22 years. A long time. During that time, those prophetic dreams had not yet been fulfilled. Yet Joseph continued to believe that they were the word of God given to him during those long years. Joseph knew it was the word of God, and he knew that the word of God is always true. God will do what he has said. He doesn't always do it on our schedule. Sometimes we're checking our watch. God, you're late. No, he's not late. We're just in a hurry. In his perfect time, God will do all that he has said. The word of God never fails. The Word of God never fails. You can bank on it. Doesn't always happen as fast as we'd like, but God will do all that He has said. God will do all that He has promised. And Joseph knew that. Joseph recognized his brothers, but they don't recognize him. Now, I'd like to go in there now and talk about all the things that happened after that, because it's fascinating and it's a lot of fun. But I want to leave something for you to do on your own. See, after this, Joseph puts his brothers through a series of tests to see whether their hearts have changed during those long years that they've been separated. A series of tests to check their hearts and their attitudes. And along with the test, several times Joseph gives words of testimony about the living God to his own brothers. All of it's very interesting, but I want to jump forward to the reconciliation part today. So please read it on your own about all the things that happened with Joseph and his tests that he gave his brothers. It's a lot of fun and you can learn a lot. Let's skip forward to the scene of reconciliation. Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 15. Genesis 45, 1 through 15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He may be father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him." When Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers, they were terrified. And they had every reason to be worried. They had sold Joseph into slavery, and now Joseph could easily take revenge if he chose to. He could have his brothers killed or imprisoned if he chose to. Their fate was in his hand. But what does Joseph say to them? He says in verse 5, "And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Joseph had suffered as a slave. He had suffered unjust imprisonment. But Joseph sees all the things that have happened as part of a larger plan, a bigger picture, part of what God is doing in God's plan. God's plan to save many lives. The years of abundance and the years of hardship had a common purpose in God's eyes. Both of these things, in fact, all things, were being used by the Lord to bring salvation to many people. To many, many people. And the saving of lives in the time of famine points to a greater salvation, eternal salvation from sin and death, through faith in the eternal living God, who loves each and every one and who is judge of all. Joseph is demonstrating something very important for us here, and we don't want to miss it. Forgiveness and reconciliation are much easier when we see the big picture, or at least when we understand that there is a big picture. It's not about what Joseph's brothers did. It's not about what your brother or sister said or that person did. It's about what God is doing, God's plan and purpose. Everything that happened to Joseph was part of God's plan to bring salvation to many people. Nothing happens without God either causing it or allowing it to happen in His wisdom and for His purposes. And even when God allows bad things to happen, He still uses those things for good and for blessing, bringing blessing and salvation out of disaster. When we understand this, then we learn to forgive our brothers and sisters and to let go of anger and let go of resentment, opening the way to reconciliation and peace in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools. The way is open when we see it's all part of a larger picture. And we can give thanks for trials like Paul often did. And we can forgive those who've hurt us, as Joseph has given the example here. Joseph understood it was part of God's plan, and he's no longer angry with his brothers at all. This idea is so important that Joseph repeats it several times. When you're reading your Bibles, this is a Bible reading hint. Anytime you find the same idea or the same words repeated over and over in just two or three pages, it's something God wants you to notice and think about what it means. Here Joseph repeats himself several times. In verses 7 and 8 he says, "But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So that it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me the father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." This is one of those quiz questions, check for understanding. Okay? You ready? I want you to yell out the answer. Who sent Joseph to Egypt? Why did God send Joseph to Egypt? For deliverance, to save many lives. Part of God's plan of love and grace and salvation. You know, God isn't surprised by the bad things that happen. He already knows. And He also knows how to bring blessing out of disaster. And God gave to Joseph a ministry of reconciliation. Reconciliation with his family. Reconciliation to teach people about how to reconcile with the true God who made the heavens and the earth. Reconciliation that brought the whole family together in Egypt and that brought a message, a testimony of God to the nations. Jacob came down, the father came down to Egypt, overjoyed with the news that Joseph was alive and that the family was going to be together again. Joseph made sure the family was treated well in Egypt. He provided for them, made sure they had a good place to live and good work and caring for their flocks and their herds. Even Pharaoh welcomed these men because they were relatives of Joseph. On the way down to Egypt, God appeared to Jacob again, and he said to Jacob, also named Israel, Genesis 46, 2 and 3, God spoke to Israel in a vision at night and said, Jacob, Jacob, here I am, he replied. I am God, the God of your father, he said. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you a great nation there. Two things we want to get here. The first we talk about in the children's message already. Wherever we go, God will be with those who trust in him. Whatever problem you're facing, the Lord is there with you. You are not alone. Trust in him. And also here we see the Lord speaking of another part of his plan of salvation for the nations. The multiplication of Israel's family into a great nation that was promised since the time of Abraham will take place in Egypt. In Egypt, the 70 people who go down, Jacob's relatives and his family, sons and grandchildren, the 70 people who go down to Egypt, in Egypt will multiply and become a great nation. And when they leave Egypt, it will be a million people, more than a million people, in that family living Egypt. When the time is right, about 400 years later, God leads the people out of Israel back to their promised land under the leadership of Moses. Genesis 45:15 said concerning Joseph, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. I like this verse. It's a very simple thing, but when brothers can sit down and talk together, then they can find reconciliation and forgiveness for the things that have happened. The relationship can truly be restored when we can sit down and talk honestly and clearly with one another. Sitting down and talking with family is a very simple thing. Just to sit down and have a meal and talk a little bit, but it's so important. It's so important for us to take time to sit with the members of our family and just talk with them and listen to what they have to say and what their struggles in life are. Joseph was sold into slavery. He could have chosen to be angry in resentment, but he chose a better path. He could have chosen revenge, but he chose something better, a better way. He chose the way of forgiveness and reconciliation and love. And in Joseph, we have a prophetic model for Christ's ministry of reconciliation and salvation, bringing the word of God to the nations, providing what is needed for the people. Jacob, renamed Israel, his 12 sons, one of them Joseph, sold as a slave in Egypt. But Joseph becomes ruler of Egypt and the whole family goes down and is reconciled and comes together again in peace and harmony, sitting down and talking with one another. Joseph is made ruler in Egypt and he stores up grain during the years of plenty. And in the years of famine, the nations come to him to receive what they need for their bodies. And along with it, I'm sure, a testimony of the true God for the salvation of their souls. Salvation and then a ministry of reconciliation. We'll close today with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 20. These verses remind us that we also have been given a ministry of reconciliation. It's been entrusted to all those who believed in Jesus and who've been reconciled with God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. He is our Creator, our Heavenly Father. Be reconciled to him. Through the cross of Christ, through faith in Jesus, receive that forgiveness of sin. Receive eternal life. When the sons of Israel were reconciled and brought together in Egypt, there was something I think that must have been a little difficult for them. Because they're human beings, so they have pride, right? How many people have pride? Some hands stay down. Okay. We all have pride. We all struggle with this. And Joseph's brothers and his father and mother, no doubt they had pride too. But when they went down to Egypt and had family reconciliation and were there, they had to humble themselves. Because Joseph was ruler there. Their brother, who had been sold into slavery, is now the ruler in Egypt, and he provides for them. So the brothers, the whole family, needs to humble themselves to accept the gift that God has provided through Joseph, to admit that they needed help. They needed a Savior, someone to help them, and God had provided. They needed to accept the gift of a place to live from Joseph. They needed to accept the provision of food from Joseph. They needed to accept the work that they had to do from Joseph, humbling themselves to receive from him. This also, I think, is part of the prophetic model that God provides in the life of Joseph for us to see, a model of our relationship with Christ in so many ways. An example for us. You see, when we come to Jesus, when we come to Jesus and we admit that he is Lord and ruler of all, not just of Egypt, but Lord and ruler of all nations, of our families, our lives, of the whole universe. When we come to Jesus, we have to humble ourselves and admit, Jesus, you are Lord. And we have to receive from his hand forgiveness of sins, salvation. We have to admit our need that we cannot save ourselves and receive these gifts from the hand of God and eternal life in heaven with him. Good gifts of salvation that he prepared for us through his death on the cross and his resurrection, through his broken body and his shed blood that we remembered in communion this morning. We humble ourselves and receive from him. And then he lifts us up and he gives to us also a ministry of reconciliation to reconcile our families, our friends, our neighbors, our city, our nation to Christ, to God the Creator. So we go after we receive and we urge our family, friends, and neighbors, be reconciled to God. And we live as examples for them and point the way to Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have prepared this great gift of salvation for us. Thank you, Lord, providing for us in so many ways. Lord, we are sinners. We have done wrong. We have fallen short. We have gone astray. And yet, you have not abandoned us. But you have come seeking after us, seeking the lost and drawing them back to you, finding us wherever we are, and offering us the gift of forgiveness of sins and restoration. Lord, help us this day to receive from your hand, to humble ourselves and to confess our need and to receive forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with God who made us. Lord, there's the very important first decision of faith. And if there are those here who don't know you, I pray that you would help them to make that first decision to trust in you. And there are others who need to renew their decision to trust in you, as we all need day by day and even hour by hour to trust in you again and again. Help us, Lord, to have renewed faith, renewed confidence, a fresh reconciliation with you, and help us to be ambassadors of love to our family and friends, to all those around us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your people, that we may be effective witnesses with the fruits of the Spirit in our lives and the gifts of Spirit for ministry. Thank you, Lord, for entrusting us with this work as well. Help us to be faithful to the task of loving others as you have loved us. Lord, there are also those in our congregation, in our families that need various kinds of healing. We pray for your healing hand to be upon them. Touch them and bring healing, Lord. There are those who are struggling with depression or loneliness. Lord, lift them up, give them new hope, send new friends into their lives, and especially remind them that you are there, ready to be with them always. You are very present everywhere, so we are never alone. Lord, there are those who struggle with finances or jobs or economic issues, and we pray for your provision. Give them good work, even as Joseph gave good work to his brothers. Provide for that need, Lord. There are many needs, Lord, and you know each and every one and each and every person. Come, Lord, demonstrate your love in meeting these needs so that people may trust in you and walk with you always. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.